What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Jackson. I got Bubba Wilson and Dr. So here talking about Pectus Excavatum. We are interviewing him after his talk here at the Sports Medicine Update 2017. So, Dr. So, thanks for being here.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to be here.
All right. So, Bubba, you listened to his talk. You guys were just talking with somebody about an athlete and the pictures, and so go ahead.
I think the first thing, I was racking my brain when he came by. I'm going, we've seen him. I've seen him. I saw the talk. And he came to our staff meeting. That's right. What it was. I'm like,
That's right.
But just real quick, talk about the two chest deformities that you were discussing in brief, and then we'll kind of go from there.
Yeah, when we talk about chest wall deformities, really kind of two groups, ones that go in and ones that come out. The ones that go in, technically called pectus excavatum. The ones that come out are called the carinatums, pectus carinatums. The excavatums are way more common, and those, as you can imagine, probably are the ones that actually cause more problems. Going in, they press on the heart, they press on the chest, they press on the lungs, and so they become the more symptomatic of the two.
And you were talking about how to about the surgical procedure for that, and it was pretty interesting. You know, how that's done and what you do with that. And then I know the question and answer was really good. The biggest question was CPR and really an AED use. And then, which if you would talk about that, what with using AED pads and CPR post-surgery, if you don't mind touching on that real quick.
So, you know, these kids, when we fix them, they have this bar that goes chest. You'll never feel it on the front or the sternum any, but you'll feel it on the sides, especially where these. And so if I had to put some AED pads, I'd be put them in relatively the normal position, but maybe I'd put them a little bit, the bottom one a little bit off from what a bar is. They shouldn't conduct because they're made out of alloys that aren't like that. So I think you could just do relatively normal, but maybe stay away from the bar a little. From the CPR standpoint and doing chest compressions, you're not going to be able to do that with the bar. And if you did, pretty strong guy.
Incredible Hulk, yeah.
And so the technique is really about going below the xiphoid and really put the diaphragm on and doing chest.
Okay. How often do you have to revise one of these?
Not too often. You know, I think sometimes the bars slip and they move a little bit, and it kind of depends on extent of how that we've had to kind of go back in and then it doesn't happen, but it's high.
And then you said the bar stays in for about 3 years.
About 3 years.
And then is it it's surgery, so nothing simple, but is it a relatively simple procedure to remove that bar?
It is. So as you know, compared to going in, they're in the hospital for 5 days, recovery is several months. This is an outpatient operation. We open up the incisions on the side,
slip it out,
free the bar up, and they go home day.
What's the recovery time to full activity after that?
I let them go back to anything they want to do. So we'll give them a little pain meds to go home with, and they just have a little bit of narcotic.
So the biggest thing is make the incisions heal. And then,
yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So compared to their first surgery.
And you touched on this in there. So you get these kids that need this procedure. Their chest wall doesn't expand. They can't catch their breath. Their heart's not efficient. They really need this procedure to have normal life. What do they, you know, we can talk about outcome measures and all that, but I think the patient experience, the patient verbiage on this is most important because they're the one that are living
right.
It. What do they say once they have kind of healed up and 6 months, a year later, what's their thought process?
I would say universally, they're all happy. They, you know, I think they're kids, right? And so they want to have a fix, but they don't necessarily always, they won't know exactly what they're getting themselves.
Right.
So we, you know, try to teach them the best we can, try to hook them up with other patients in the process. But sort of, you get them to 4 to 6 months out, and they've kind of recovered across the board. They're very happy with the process. They're doing more stuff. They're being more social.
And at that point, they don't mind taking their shirt off because it's a normal chest, and chicks dig scars in the sides, so they're good. Yeah,
that's right.
Okay. What about, so we've talked about this caved chest. Okay, what about the opposite extreme of that? Is there surgical procedures for that? Is there an indication for that?
For the ones that pop out?
Yes.
The carinatums? Yeah, there is. Luckily, we don't have to do much of that anymore. You know, they're not medically asymptomatic.
It's more cosmetic.
Yeah, and they may get some aches and pain because the chest moves a little bit. So if they're young enough, we can brace and press it and give them about consistent use, about 20. It'll get there. Pretty remarkable, actually. But their chest has to be pretty soft. So usually I deal with it before pubis process. If that fails or if they come a little older and the brace isn't working for them, then, you know, the alternative is an operation.